Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
And we say hello to Bob Martin, Senior VP, Senior Investment Analyst at Mesro Wealth Management. Bob, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
It's always great to chat with you. The markets, boy, they went vroom vroom on Friday. That felt good. And generally speaking, I think that we're feeling okay about the markets. I think we walk, you know, tepidly across the road, don't we, though, Bob?
I think so. And we've sat down a few times over the past year, and I feel like each time we have the conversation, it's looking at a mixed economic picture, even in the numbers you just kind of ran through. If we look back at the jobs report from Friday, there's always some good, you know, whether it's jobs or corporate earnings, along with some bad, if it's unemployment, if it's inflation, and you've got an argument on both sides.
You put it through a blender and you get flat, or you get, I don't know where we are. We keep on talking about this recession as in the future tense, right? We've talked about it since this show launched last February, the upcoming recession. I'm not asking you to look too much into the crystal ball, but it is entirely possible that we realize ultimately that there never was and wasn't a recession, at least during this time period, right?
Well, look, along with the Fed raising interest rates and a possible recession, you know, one of the options that's continued to be on the table is the idea of this Goldilocks scenario of a soft landing that you hike and you constrain just enough to pull back on growth and to bring back inflation, but not so much as to drive the economy into a recession.
Right.
Whether we get there or not, we'll see. The markets are still kind of anticipating a recession in the second half of this year. But ideally, if that happens, you know, a mild recession or no recession and just kind of that slow growth gets us to a similar place, hopefully without too much pain to the end consumer.
That's a good piece of advice, whether we're talking about the economy or anything in life. Get to somewhere without too much pain. Let's talk a little bit about the Fed markets or the raising of the rates. I think a lot of people had banked on, you know, especially after the regional banking situation, we kind of navigated through that. Muddy waters, okay. We saw the jobs number come out a little hot. The expectation is, and tell me if I'm wrong, that we still expect a pause here at this June meeting, right? Or that's what markets are betting in.
So if we look at what markets are pricing in, and we can look at how the bond market is pricing sequentially in the Treasury market to give us some indication of what the bond market expects to happen with rates. And as of right now, at the Fed meeting next week, the market's pricing in kind of 3-to-1 odds against a hike. So a pause, though they're still leaving that door open that the Fed could, you know, look at the data, look at the strong jobs number, look at inflation, and then put another quarter point increase into the market next week.
Okay. What about looking even forward ahead towards July?
So if we look out to July, prediction on, or at least anticipation on, an increase is about 50-50. So between June and July, that we may see another quarter point here in the Fed rate. But then if we look out farther towards the end of the year, out beyond July, the markets are starting to price in interest rate cuts, that the Fed will have to start pulling back on those hikes and bring interest rates back downward.
And that's where the markets could maybe get a little ahead of their skis, right? If it turns out inflation's a little bit more stubborn, jobs reports continue to be strong, even if the Feds don't raise rates more after July or June or July or from here on out, the deceleration of the rates, if it goes slower than the market wants, that could be a potential trouble spot, right?
Sure. And look, I think the Fed's been really clear through their statements that they're going to be data dependent, that they're going to go meeting by meeting, look where the economy is, look where the numbers are, look where inflation's at, and try to get back near those target numbers and adjust as they go.
I hate to put it this simply, but for the average folks out there like me, does another quarter point really make all that big of a difference if it happens in June or July? I mean, I know credit card balances might go up a little bit more, or the rate for your credit card rate, mortgage rates may tick up just a little bit. But whether it's a quarter point or flat over the next 2 months, does any of that really matter to most people?
Look, if you're taking out a mortgage, right, it makes a difference. Each of these little incremental steps certainly makes a difference. But the more important thing is going to be the long-term path of rates. And what the market's telling us right now is we're probably closer to the end of these interest rate increases than we are to the beginning.
And that's the broader picture to take a look at. We'll wait and see if it happens. We're going to take a pause here on this Mesro Monday, 1-877-MESRO, MESROW.com is a great way to reach Bob and all the great folks over there. We're going to talk about taking a look under the hood of your 401k. I know a lot of you have them. Do you know what's in there? Is it just a target date of retirement? Okay, what does that mean? We're going to go to school a little bit on 401ks after a look at weather and traffic? Sure, you got some nurses in your family who've had a rough couple years, haven't they?
Sure, it's certainly been a difficult time for them, but it's amazing work they do.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned that you had some family members go to the T-Swift concert.
I did. My wife and my 12-year-old daughter were there Friday night.
Did they have fun?
They had a great time.
Oh, good. Did they get all glittered up and stuff like that for the show?
You know, dressed up. The 12-year-old made the bracelet, so it was a good time for everyone.
That's cute. Not so much for the 8-year-old who had to stay home. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about Mark from Mesiro, M-E-S-I-R-O-W. Can you remind people really quickly that maybe are just tuning into the show, what is Mesiro? What do you guys do?
So Mesiro is an 85-year-old financial services firm based here in Chicago, not too far from the studio. I work with the wealth division that we help individuals manage their money, handle financial planning, and do a lot of long-term planning for them.
Right, because it's comprehensive, right? I know a lot of people think of retirement as, oh, I have my 401k. And I'm good. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it?
It goes beyond that. So, you know, one piece of it is managing the investments and helping to take a look at the market and say, where should I be? What's appropriate for me? The other part is making the financial plan decisions. What's the best tax approach to look at this? How do I coordinate with my estate attorney if I have one, or my tax accountant? How do I manage all these differing pieces? And then also the administration of just how do I get these things done on a day-to-day basis?
The administration meaning like just the literally, who do I call? Where do I plug this in? How do we move things from here to there? How do we plan for what happens if, God forbid, something happens? All the holistic approach stuff.
Sure. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and Mesiro's here to help out.
I love it. Okay. Let's take a look under the hood at a 401k. I imagine most people listening are like, yeah, John, we know what a 401k is. We have a 401k. And I'd say that's great. But do you know what's actually under the hood? So I want to ask you, Bob, I know a lot of people have target retirement date 401ks. Like when they got their 401k, they said the target date is 2035 or 2040 or whatever it may be. What is actually in those?
So if we think about your traditional 401k over the last 40 or so years, you've had a mix of stock and bond options. So you could pick individual funds and build your own allocation. People would look at that. They'd sort of look at the performance or maybe the ratings that showed up. But, you know, they're not financial experts. Some people maybe didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with it. So the selections would be somewhat arbitrary within that menu of 10 to 20 funds you have in your 401k. So what we've seen in a lot of plans, and it's pretty common today, is you have what's called a target date fund, which is a fund that's structured around your age and targeting when you plan to retire. So for someone, you know, 10 years out from retirement, they might look at a target date 235 or 2035 fund today. So they typically come in 5-year increments. And by targeting when you want to retire, the funds use kind of a broad brush and paint a generally appropriate picture for someone in that time frame.
Should people look a little deeper into those?
You know, it certainly doesn't hurt to take a look under the hood. So there's different providers, and each one's a little different. So if we're looking at, say, that 2035 fund 10 years out, the exposures in that, so how much stocks you have, how many bonds you have, how much you have in the U.S. versus how much you have internationally is going to be different from provider to provider. So it's helpful to take a look and make sure whatever that allocation is something that you're comfortable with for where you're at.
Right, because when the market took such a dip in 2022, I think a lot of people who thought they had a more conservatively balanced 401k found that with the bond market doing what it did, it wasn't as conservative as they may have hoped. And then they thought, well, am I going to be aggressive enough now that the prices are discounted, am I going to be buying enough equities to try and make up the difference? So maybe it's a lot about what's happening in the market that could determine if you want to just slightly adjust things, right?
Sure, and I think it's taking a look at where the market is. And as we saw in 2022, a lot of people had long bonds and thought that bonds were safe because bonds are more predictable. But as interest rates came up, the value of those bonds went down, and in some cases, nearly as much as your stocks did. So some of those balance allocations really took a hit. But at the same time, you know, it's your retirement plan. Typically, you've got some time here. You have some time to let that work. So you don't want to, you know, get in the habit of adjusting at the wrong time or making an adjustment if you're where you were comfortable being in the first place.
If I were to open up one of those, you know, target date funds, I assume that it is like a mutual fund in terms of like they buy different types of stocks, right? It's some tech. They buy some, they do the job of someone trying to paint a broad picture over what the American and sometimes even foreign economies do and represent the general trend of things, right?
Right. And we, you know, have this the sense of don't put all your eggs in one basket, don't own one thing. So some people may look at the retirement plan and say, well, I don't want to own just one fund. Isn't that the wrong thing to do? And with a target date fund, even though it's a single investment, it'll be a single line item, a single allocation within your 401k. It's not a single fund. So typically what they are is they're a basket of different funds. So within that target date fund, there might be 10 or 15, you know, 20 different mutual funds and different weightings. So you're getting the full basket diversified across a mix of different investments.
If I want to be maybe more aggressive, I've seen some articles written that say target date funds are a little conservative more than people realize. Even if I've only done one target date fund for the whole time I've, you know, been working, could I buy one for later? Like, these things aren't written in stone. Can I buy two? Can I split them in half? I want to buy half of 2035. I want to buy half of 2045. Is that in my power to do?
Yeah, so even though these are a kind of one-stop solution, you can always balance it out with other funds within your plan. So if you're looking at, you know, 10 years out in that 2035 target date fund, feels a little more conservative than where you'd like to be, you can step out to the 2040, which is going to be invested a little bit more aggressively. You also have the option to use other investments within your plan that if you want some straight equity exposure, if you'd like to own the S&P 500 within the plan, that you can have an allocation to that in addition to your target date fund. Though as you're doing that, be careful because, you know, again, these are built as a one-stop solution. So you need to be mindful of what the net allocation of that target date fund is, along with whatever else you're pairing it with, whether that's in your retirement plan or in your other investment accounts.
The way it works with mine is I can just pick different ones and it has to equal 100, like 100%. I want 10% to go here, 20%. But you're right, you start to tinker with it too much. Like someone once said, it's like a bar of soap. The more you touch it, the more it goes away. But can someone, if they're reaching out to Mesiro, let's say they're going to look under the hood, and that's your homework, everyone. I want everyone before tomorrow's show to look at your 401k. And for a lot of people, that is getting the login information, because some people literally have not looked at it, changed their beneficiaries in years and years and years. Take a look at it, see what you have. If they have questions, is that something that happens at an introductory meeting with Mesiro? A look under the hood at what they have in their 401k and what they can have going forward?
Yeah, for sure. And if you're meeting with your advisor, you know, even if your advisor is not the one managing that 401k, that retirement plan for you, if they're managing your outside investment accounts, this is something that Mesiro does a lot, that we're looking at the overall picture of how are you balancing your retirement account? How are you balancing your cash savings? How are you balancing your outside investment accounts and making sure that all those pieces fit together? It's pieces of a puzzle that you want the picture to come together in the right way. And there may be an argument for being more aggressive with one piece, like in your retirement accounts that you're going to touch later, than with your outside investment accounts, where maybe you have some money set aside for a kid's college education or a vacation or a second home or something else that you're planning on.
All right. It's not one size fits all, but you guys certainly help make it work for people individually. MESIROW.com is Mesiro's website, 1-877-MESIRO. People can just call that number, explain what they were looking for, and you'll pair them up with the right person, right?
For sure.
All right. Bob, it's been a good pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
And in the next 3 weeks, we're going to have different podcasts, Mesiro Mondays. We're going to dive deeper into each of these subjects. You can get those at WGNRadio.com. And again, your homework, everyone. Check what is, I'm looking at you already, and you too. You as well, Brett, in the engineering department. Look at your 401ks, tell me what's in them, and we're going to, you don't have to tell me the amount, we're going to just break it all down, and I want those done by tomorrow. Okay, quick break to the news here on Your Money Matters.